It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this station on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, this Thursday's episode of War Eagle Weekly and every previous one on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. This show is brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway, and my co-host Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
Good morning, War Eagle. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
A lot to talk about today.
Some good, some bad. We'll start with the good that's going around Auburn men's basketball, of course. That's always the meat of our program. But yeah, we've got some good news that you were telling me about just a couple minutes ago, particularly with Auburn baseball and softball, correct?
Correct. Great news on both of those fronts. Before we get started with that, though, let's just acknowledge that Coach Hugh Freeze has been diagnosed with an early form of prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The prognosis is fine, and he's really deflecting a lot of the attention away from that and back onto the program. So a lot of attention was given over a couple of days about his diagnosis, but I don't think he's too worried about it. I mean, you know, I'm almost 60, so, you know, a diagnosis like that would be concerning to anybody.
For sure.
But it looks like they've diagnosed him early enough that he's well within the successful treatment range. So it looks like it's got a really nice positive possible outcome. But still, everybody that bleeds orange and blue should be keeping him and his family in your prayers and hoping for him to get the appropriate treatment and a speedy recovery.
Yeah, when we first heard that news, I reached out to you and I said, "Yeah, we got to make a point of mentioning that." And yes, that is the not only thoughts and prayers, but that is the main thing to keep in mind. What you said,
yeah,
about
that's
it being early and treatable,
and that's a front burner issue because you know that affects so many other things, and the team and the administration at the school are rallying around him, so he's getting everything he can get support wise from fans, from the administration, from alumni. So everybody's just hoping for the best for him and hope it doesn't slow him down, because he's made some really fantastic acquisitions in the off season through the portal. So there's a lot of excitement about what's possible with the football team, and looking forward to that. Now, to the really good news is the baseball program and the softball program. Auburn's softball program is absolutely on fire right now. They're 20-1.
Wow.
Now they're on an 11-game win streak at home. They only loss was at a neutral site. They've got a young, phenomenal freshman pitcher, and I can't remember what her name is right now. I had made a note of it, and I can't find my note. but she is she's lighting up the pitching scene. But their bats are on fire. I mean,
yeah.
they're scoring every game. I think they've scored three or more points, except maybe the one that they lost. And a couple of them were rallies, you know, in the mid to late part of the game to come back and win it. So they're on a 9-game win streak, an 11-0 run at home, and their overall record is 20-1. So as soon as this basketball season is over with, I am so looking forward to watching some Auburn softball. And on the same note, Auburn baseball team is on fire too. They only have two losses, one to Holy Cross and the other one to UAB.
Right.
They're 11-2. Their latest game was that loss to UAB, but they're on an 8-1 win streak at home. So you know what the. I mean, it's just there's so many good, exciting things to talk about with Auburn right now. Basketball is just overshadowing everything, and it should be because we are unquestionably the number one team in the country.
Right. Knocking on the door of the postseason.
We're right now the overall number one seed most likely in the tournament. So it kind of overshadows all these other things we've got going on, and we're still ranked number one in equestrian. The women's softball team or the women's basketball team, their season came to a close They lost to Florida in the SEC tournament. So now their postseason and regular season are over. But we had already talked some about what they are doing to make themselves better for next year,
right?
Especially with the acquisition of the girl from China. I'm still not sure we say her name correctly. Dang.
Yeah,
it's spelled like more like dang, but I've heard three or four different pronunciations of it. But she looks like she's going to have a really exciting time here next year. It's just a matter of what they build around her. And of course, they're gonna feed off the energy that's surrounding the men's basketball program because they play in the same arena. The fans, you know, the kids on campus love to go to the games because, you know, they'll camp out in front of the venue to get in, you know, so
right.
it's nice. But yeah, this entire athletics program at Auburn, it's exciting to watch. It's exciting to be a part of, you know, and as a fan.
Right.
Looking forward to great things from all of them in the future. We're seeing an improving women's basketball. We've got a fantastic baseball team, a fantastic softball team. We got the number one basketball team, number one equestrian. Diving and swimming is ranked, and I don't remember what they're ranked. Our gymnastics team has fired up lately. I think we beat – yeah, we did. We beat Alabama at Tuscaloosa.
Hey, we'll take it. Any rivalry win over the Tide.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so a little bit of bragging rights in under different flags, so to speak, you know, banners. So we got the baseball, softball, basketball, football banner. So, you know, everybody obviously is keyed on the football season more than any other part of the program.
Right.
But, man, it's just there's so much to look forward to and so much to be proud of as an orange and blue guy.
Yeah, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And yeah, Bill, Auburn's really knocking on the door of I'll call it everything status. We've seen some universities hit that. Alabama, as much as I hate to say it, they've done that before where they've been good at football. They've been competitive at basketball recently. They've had their moments in baseball. And yeah, you've got Clemson. They're kind of similar in that regard. And Auburn is. They're knocking on the door of a very similar status with baseball and softball being off to the booming starts they have, with Auburn having some of the most hype surrounding their basketball program perhaps ever. And the programs that they're struggling in, as you said, are just in rebuilding mode. They're in stepping stone stages. And the thing is, Auburn is expected, I would say, to be a bowl team next year. I mean, with the acquisitions you've had and falling just short, having so many games that you should have won, I'm assuming that they're going to be a winning team next season. And then you've got women's basketball where it looks like, as you said, once some of these younger talents get a bit more developed, how they played some of those middle-of-the-road teams in the SEC, this team should definitely be further from the bottom than they are the top.
Absolutely, yeah. They should be an above 500 team. They pretty much finished with a 500 record this year, but that was with improvements in the second half of the season.
Right.
So that's the glimmer. That's the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, this basketball program prior to Bruce Pearl, I think the best team that they ever had on the court was when Charles Barkley was part of the team. Chuck Persons.
Yeah, had to have been.
As far as having a lot of athletes on the court at the same time, and even Charles Barkley has said, like he said in the commentary in that one game a couple weeks ago, was Bruce Pearl has changed the complexion and the future of Auburn basketball, and in a very good way. He's made us a national contender.
Right. And he got ahead of it with how deep the SEC now is.
And it's not a flash in the pan. It's for real.
Yeah.
You know, we went to the Final Four in 2019. We made it to the tournament last year. We're the front runner. I'm a unanimous number one. Maybe not after this coming Sunday, but unanimous number one for, 5 weeks so far this season. So,
right.
You know, Auburn's – it'd be nice to be considered one of those blue bloods.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, you're knocking on the door. It's just a matter of being able to see that postseason success, see the success from the regular season carry over. Of course, we had issues with that last year, especially culminating in that first round exit to Yale. And that's the last thing Auburn wants to see right now. And that's what makes the kind of, I'll say, turbulent week that you just had a bit more concerning. And the details of that turbulent week we'll get into after the break. It's already about 10:13, so we'll take a quick break. But when we return, yeah, we have a win over Kentucky and a loss to Texas A&M. Very, very different takeaways from those two games, and for more reasons than the obvious ones. But yeah, we're going to get into how some of these guys did, what they didn't do in these games, and we're also going to talk about how pivotal this is, not just heading into the postseason, but heading into that rematch with Alabama we got this Saturday. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway on Pine Forest Road, and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant working with local businesses? What if this job, you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to HR@ESPNPensacola.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text STAY to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text STAY to 321321. That's STAY to 321321.
There are kids in this country who didn't have a parent at their baseball games or recitals because their parents were serving in faraway places. But now they're coming home, and Wounded Warrior Project assists them through the Warriors to Work program.
My mom used to be a tank programmer. Now she works with computers. I'm really glad she's home because I can't eat my dad's marshmallow macaroni anymore.
To support the Warriors to Work program, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. Well, that's one of the things I'm not.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You are listening to the home of The Rich Eisen Show, hosted by me, Rich Eisen.
Watch out, because I'm coming for you.
Tune in weekdays for the very best in the world of sports and entertainment with me.
I'm coming after you like every day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Your humble host on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
Start your day off right with Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Chris, and Michelle. Mornings 5 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly. Every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were, of course, applauding how well Auburn has done in other sports, whether it be baseball, softball, you name it. But we're starting to get into the meat of our programming here with the men's basketball. And it was a roller coaster of emotions this past week with the last couple of games we've had. We'll start with the highs, all right? You played Kentucky, and you beat them 94-78. Now, what was significant about this game, I would say two things. One, it's your first road win over the Wildcats since 1988. And two, you did it with Jahni Broome having one of his least flattering stat lines of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jahni Broome's numbers, six rebounds, one assist, 9 points. But he affected the game in every other way.
Right.
Was not measured by those any of those kind of metrics.
Defensively sound.
Yes. He passed the ball at the right time. He was in the right spots to affect the way the team around him played, creating the lanes, creating the open shots. His basketball vision on the court was good. That's the kind of thing that doesn't show up in numbers, mm-hmm. but it showed up in everybody else's numbers. Chad Baker-Mazzara benefited from that, and Miles Kelly was on fire.
Yeah, 30 points. What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, they Auburn, that is probably the most complete game I've seen Auburn play this year.
I definitely see that.
Yeah, they were fast.
Yeah.
They were accurate. They minimized their mistakes. I mean, you're always going to commit fouls. I mean, that's just a part of the game.
Especially when you play how Auburn does.
Oh, yeah, as physical as Auburn plays, especially defensively. But, I mean, you had three guys in double digits, and they were all over 20 points.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about a guy having 10 or 11 here.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that accounts for 90 points, you know? So, Miles Kelly had 30. Chad Baker, as we just said, had 22. Todd Pettiford had 21. They were pretty decent from the free throw line. They were awesome on the rebounds, especially on second chance opportunities, offensive rebounds. And they put a lot of pressure on that Kentucky team. And the Kentucky's a good team. I mean, they always are.
Right. They've had some dips, but as you said, yeah. For a first-year head coach, this blue blood has stayed afloat pretty well.
Yeah. And, you know, like you mentioned, it had been since 1988. Since Auburn beat Kentucky at Kentucky. Mm. So, you have this mystique, you know, around the venue. And we mentioned that before the game. We said that's going to play a part.
Right.
You got to beat the ghost before you even set foot on the court.
Yeah.
You know? So, they came in. They were super motivated. They were well coached. They were fast. They didn't let up at any time. And the right people got hot when the other people got cold. Jahni Broome, I think he missed two or three three-pointers early. Mm. But everybody else around him made them.
Right.
So he had two blocks. Cardwell had a block that was phenomenal. It was just the most complete game I've seen them play as a unit. When one player was down and not catching the breaks, everybody else around him was.
Right. I agree with you. Because it was overbearing, balanced team ball. We've applauded Auburn for that all season long. And the other thing we've applauded them for is what you just said. When one player kind of takes a step back, the others step up. Jahni Broome, he was a defensive powerhouse. I'll give him that. He had six boards. That was team leading, and he had three steals. So yeah, he was a defensive stud, as we expect him to be. But yeah, he only had like single digit points, 8 or 9 points, I believe. And so to see Kelly, Baker-Mazzara, and Pettiford ball out the way that they did, that's huge. And that's really inspiring as we start knocking on the door of this SEC tournament.
Yeah. I mean, when you look, when you just go down the list and look at the numbers that the Auburn players put up, and not putting as much weight on the three that had double-digit points, you would look at these numbers and say, against a Kentucky team, oh, you lost. but, you know, that's not the way – that's why the numbers are deceiving in any – even on your wins and your losses, the numbers can be deceiving because no one player on this team stood out head and shoulders above the other. You would have expected a 22-point game and a 12, 14-pound rebound game out of Janai Broome, but he wasn't healthy. He was still hobbling a little bit on that ankle, and that's obvious. And of course, we're going to talk more about that with the following game, the A&M game. It's obvious that he's not 100%. And the right people, like I mentioned, just caught fire at the right time. Miles Kelly, he hit those two three-pointers off the glass from opposing sides of the arc, you know, which when a player can do that, can use the glass from a three-point range and do it accurately, man, that's just that was awesome to watch.
Yeah.
It was like the basketball gods were shining on him, and it didn't matter if he had to use the glass or put it straight in the rim. He was on fire. And it made a difference. It made a huge difference. Denver Jones didn't get a whole lot of love in the stats range either, but he was injured,
right?
And we're going to talk about that in the next game too. So you know, you had Janai Broome not being 100%. You had Denver Jones coming off the court I think he twisted his ankle, and you know, that's going to affect the next couple of games that we play, and we can talk about that as well.
Right.
But just what a great game to watch all the way to the end. And, you know, I hate to say it, it was a little disheartening for me as a fan to see some of their fans leaving the arena before the end of the game. You know,
because you feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn doesn't do that.
Right.
We didn't do that when we got beat by Florida. Everybody that was there was still there when the game was over. You know, it's just I think they had such high expectations because they are Kentucky.
Right.
And when they didn't live up to those expectations, some people started leaving before the game was over. And I'm not making a class judgment on that. I'm just saying
it's a different standard.
As a fan, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I remember being in the stands watching games at Auburn, watching football games where we're getting hammered. And I'm hanging around to the very end because you might see somebody do something spectacular that makes you think, okay, next week this might be the guy to watch.
Something to build on.
Yeah, something positive to walk away from that event with. So, you know, I saw that, and it kind of surprised me because I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that's, man, and it's just the way sports are in the sense of that's a difference in standard. You know, we were talking just last segment. By the way, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. Yeah, but no, we were – just last segment, Bill, we were talking about Auburn and how great of a season this is for them and how it holds up to the rest of their program's history. Yeah, man, now you look at Kentucky and it's like, man, we're a blue blood. We're supposed to be the top-ranked team. We're supposed to be the ones winning at home, blah, blah, blah. They probably thought about the fact, hey, we're losing here to Auburn for the first time in almost 40 years. And when Auburn's convincingly outplaying you, Kentucky's not making their shots worth a hoot. When you consider all that, yeah, you know, you're sitting there as an Auburn fan thinking, man, this is awesome. And even if we were losing, you know, there's a lot of potential here. Can't wait for next week. Because you can't afford to sit back with the games you got coming up. But Kentucky is sitting here saying, man, this was a moment to really just end the regular season on a pounding note. We didn't do it. We expect perfection. That's not what this was. We're out of here. It's the same thing you see with Alabama fans and their AD melting down over a 9-4 season. It's the same thing there. There's a standard that you meet, and since Kentucky didn't meet it, they wanted to quit. their fans did, and yeah, that I agree with you. That's unfortunate. As a fan of a humble, as a fan of a humbler program myself, Wake Forest, I can relate to what you're saying there more than anyone.
Well, you know, and because I texted you, I was pulling for your Wake Forest Deacons against Duke.
But don't even mention it.
But the reason I even brought that up originally is because I look at it from the standpoint of these are kids out there. You know, most of them are between 18 and 21.
Right.
And when they see a fan base get up and leave, you know, that affects them. It affects them more than it would affect me as a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way you got to look at it. You got to look at it from the standpoint of, I want them to know that whatever they do, I still love them.
Right.
And I love to watch them, and I encourage them, and I hope that they improve.
It was, and this is just a quick story because we're going to head to break in a couple minutes anyway. But this was, I want to say it was like 2018. 2017. I was at a Florida State-Louisville football game, and Florida State had just fumbled, and Lamar Jackson took the Cardinals back down the field, and they kicked like a game-winning field goal or something with like 12 seconds to go. I don't know. And I remember James Blackman, I believe, was the quarterback at the time for the Seminoles. He was out there, and they were getting ready to try to come out in a play to try to respond, and people just heading to the exits in droves. And I did. In that moment, you don't think about it when you're watching from a TV screen. But when you're there especially, you do. You're like, that's really sad. How do you think he's feeling? He's trying to get his offense together, and he sees his fans that were there cheering for him leaving. They gave up on him. I hated that feeling. Being there watching that, you know, so I can understand exactly where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, I as a fan, that's just not the way. I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I would be the last one in the stadium.
Wow,
because I want them to know I'm there.
Yeah,
I want to watch you perform. I support what you're doing. I want to be a part of it in whatever way I can. If it just means a butt in a seat.
That's what makes you a fan, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Just about 9:30 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark. When we return, we'll be getting into this other game that we had been hinting at just a few minutes ago, Bill, talking about Texas A&M. Pretty sobering moment for Auburn, especially after such a big win over the Kentucky Wildcats. We'll talk about that loss and how we can use it to fuel us into the rematch with Alabama.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Outcast Tackle & Marine's 38th annual spring sale is here, and it just keeps growing with millions in discounted inventory in the warehouse and in the store. Doors open Thursday morning, March 6th at 4 o'clock with unheard-of prices on fresh and saltwater tackle. The sale continues daily through Sunday, March 9th. Inside the store, all apparel is 20% off, 40% off reel spooling, deep discounts on rods and reels, big green eggs and accessories 15% off, marine supplies 15% off. Outside in the warehouse, mirror lures start at $3.99. Unbelievable prices on soft plastics, including Zoom, Culprit, and Bass Assassin, Seaguar on Yozuri Fluorocarbon, Owner, Mustad, and Eagle Claw hooks at blowout prices. Costa sunglasses, closeouts, and discontinued models 50% off. The 38th annual Outcast Tackle and Marine Spring Sale, often imitated, never duplicated. Doors open at 4 o'clock in the morning, Thursday, March 6th through Sunday, March 9th. Barrancas Avenue, Pensacola. Get here early before it's gone.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Spring is finally here, and so are spring projects. So get them started at Harbor Freight's parking lot sale. This weekend, save on products like pressure washers for $69.99, 42-inch roller cabinets for under $500, plus 30% off Hercules corded power tools. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 3/9/25 while supplies last. Limitations apply, so spring in before it's over.
Clinton Yates and a rotating group of guests give unique insights and perspectives on sports. It's Clinton and Friends, 10 until Rich Eisen on ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the high of beating Kentucky on the road and how that win encapsulated every single thing that we know Auburn men's basketball to be this year. And now we go to your road trip to Texas A&M, where you lost 83-72, and it basically told us the opposite of all those things.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of things that happened in between that win and that loss. When Auburn won that game, we secured at least a tie for the regular season SEC title, and that would require other teams to lose and us to win out.
Right.
As the Auburn players, and there's a great video of this on YouTube, as the Auburn players were on the bus leaving and watching on their phones the end of the Alabama game.
Yeah, Bama-Tennessee.
And they watched that three-pointer at the buzzer go in. Of course, they all erupted because they knew that secured the regular season SEC title, regardless of how we finished.
Right. So there may be a touch of complacency there.
So now you come off this high of winning this game at a venue that you're not supposed to win at, and where everybody played, in my opinion, the best game they've played all year as a team.
Right.
And now they're celebrating because they know they're the regular season SEC champions. And there's only 2 days between the games. So you're coming off this emotional game that has so many other things besides just the record that rode on it,
right?
Breaking that losing streak at Rupp Arena, bringing yourself in there as the unanimous number one team in the country, and trying to impress on anybody who's doubtful about what Auburn basketball really is. That was the game that checked all those boxes. So now you come off this emotional high. This was, and I even heard, I think it was Stephen A. Smith talking about this game with Texas A&M. This was the ultimate trap game for Auburn.
Yeah.
You're coming off this great big win. So many things that were positive around it and so many things that happened right after the game. And Texas A&M was coming off a 4-game losing streak.
So right,
they had a lot to prove.
Yeah, they've got more to play for.
It makes a difference in where they're going to fall in the SEC tournament, and as far as getting a bye or double bye, and it's also going to affect where they're going to be seated and in what bracket they're going to go in the tournament. So, and it's a home game for them. So, and you know how Texas A&M fan base is one of the best in the country.
They're known for their passion. Yep.
The 12th man is a real thing, and it pours over into their basketball program. When I watched the crowd before tip off on that game, that place was electric.
Yeah.
So And within the first 10 minutes of that game, I could tell right away Auburn was not as fast as they were in the Kentucky game.
Yeah, you had a slow start.
They looked slower physically. They looked slower. Janiah Broome missed three or four shots under the basket. You know, it should have been layups. It was like all the things they were doing right in the Kentucky game, none of those things were happening in this game. Mm-hmm. Auburn fell behind early. A&M was out-physicaled them. They were definitely faster on the court. And they were – it was obvious. They brought their A game. They were throwing their kitchen – that was the game they were going to throw the kitchen sink out there, because if we can beat number one at home, you know, it makes a difference to them as to where they go postseason.
Right. You got to prove yourself.
Yeah, so from the means more to me perspective, this game meant more to Texas A&M, and they came out there and they showed that.
Oh, it absolutely
and more. And I'm not saying Auburn laid an egg, because I really don't think Auburn laid an egg. You can look at the statistics of the game from the players. They played probably an average game for the year.
I'd say so, yeah.
I mean, you don't.
It's not like you got decimated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we still scored 72 points in a game where we were shooting less than, what, 35, 36% from the field? Mm. So.
And you didn't have a single player hit 20 points.
No. And that was a big difference between last week or the last game and this game.
Right.
We had three players in over 20 points each. We had no players with 20 points here, and we got out-rebounded. That was a big thing with Texas A&M. They out-rebounded Auburn offensively under the basket, and they took advantage of second-chance point opportunities. There was several times there where Auburn had them locked up. They just threw they threw the ball toward the basket, and they had the right player in the right spot to get the offensive rebound and make the point. So, you know, it was Auburn played a pedestrian game, and A&M played their A game, and they looked like a team with a much better record than 21-9.
Right, and you know,
they played like everybody expected Kentucky to play.
That is true, and that's very well said. And I think we really need to focus on the storyline entering this game. We talked because that was one of the first things you mentioned, and we talked about it last week. A&M was on the haziest spot of Auburn's schedule between a trip to Kentucky and a rematch with Alabama. When all of those teams are good, especially Texas A&M hosting you, yeah, it'll never not be brutal. We were prepared for that. And, you know, when we look at that mindset as far as, okay, where are you mentally? Or how invested are you in these games? That's what makes this rematch with Alabama mean all the more. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And Bill, Alabama coming off of back-to-back losses to rivalry programs, Tennessee and Florida. And they were competitive losses, especially that heartbreaker, buzzer-beating three, tie-breaking three against the Volunteers. They're out for blood against y'all. They would be anyway, but they lost the first meeting in Tuscaloosa. They may be trying to catch you with your pants down after you lose to the Aggies. And they are someone who has more to prove than y'all do. Because they're sitting here thinking, man, okay, we're wanting a one seed and everything. We're wanting to be considered as a top dog. And we just lost to two top 10 opponents, and now we've got Auburn on the horizon. So you talked about A&M having something to prove for the postseason. Alabama has the most to prove of anyone right now.
Well, Auburn has a lot to prove now coming off this loss.
Yeah, yeah.
And
reassure us before we get into the conference tournament.
And the way I look at it, this is if you're going to lose one of your last three regular season games, this was the best case scenario for Auburn.
I agree.
Win at Kentucky convincingly, and if you're going to drop a game, drop the A&M game, and then have that extra motivation going into the Alabama game. Like you needed any more motivation, but that is extra motivation. I guarantee you, Coach Pearl is practicing them hard this week in preparation for that Alabama game.
Right,
because he knows a heartbreaking loss at three-pointer at the buzzer against Tennessee is Alabama, like you say, Alabama is, they are going to come. mean. They're going to come hard. They're going to come fast. They're going to throw everything at you because it's one of those games that means more. And it's just like the football Iron Bowl. The team that wants it most is almost always the team that gets it.
Right.
But Auburn, fortunately, Auburn has the record to stand behind, so we know what Auburn can do. We saw it against Kentucky. We saw the way they played against Tennessee.
Saw it against Bama the first time.
I still go back to that Tennessee game where it was a low-scoring game. It was super physical defense.
Yeah.
That's the offensive production out of the Kentucky game and the defensive production out of that Tennessee game is what I want to see in this Auburn-Alabama matchup. If we can get that, then I think we're okay. I think we're in an okay position and we don't have to worry too much about it. But Alabama has shown that they can stand toe-to-toe and compete with anybody.
Yeah.
They played well in that Tennessee game. They were just a victim of a
horrible circumstance.
60-foot half-quarter buzzer beater, that went in.
But 9 times out of 10, the shot ain't falling.
That's what I'm saying. Even if he's out there by himself shooting, standing still with nobody else around him from that same spot, he probably makes 2 out of 12. and he probably has 3 or 4 of them being air balls,
Right.
Just because of the distance he had to throw that ball.
It's such a heave, yeah.
It was. It was. He should have got a free car out of that, there should have been an extra incentive for making that kind of shot. Maybe his NIL numbers will go up.
Who knows?
But that was it was. I had as much fun watching that shot live, and then almost within an hour, somebody texted me and said, "You need to check this YouTube video out," and it was the YouTube video of the Auburn players reacting to it on the bus.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, man, and I was afraid once I saw that. I'll tell you straight up. The next morning I woke up and I was like, man, if there's ever a game we're going to lay an egg, it's against A&M.
Yeah.
I said, because it
was tricky.
All the ingredients in the cake for laying an egg are there right now. The high, the expectation.
Who's to come.
Yeah. Yeah. And the short time between each game.
Right.
2 days. Yeah. You have 1 day to rest, 1 day to practice, and the next thing you know, you're playing at another away venue.
No, it was. It was a textbook trap.
But, it pretty much was – it was the way I expected A&M to play, because my prediction in that game was Auburn 92, Texas A&M 80.
Okay.
So
they put up about as much.
A&M performed like I expected them to as far as points production.
Right.
Auburn obviously
lacked.
Lacked. And it was because, injuries, and we just were slower. We got off to a slower start, and we got out physical. The games that we've lost, Duke, Florida, and Texas A&M, every one of those games we got out physical. Mm. It wasn't skill. It was physical play. It was the in-your-face defense. It was the offensive rebounds, the difference in second-chance points. We didn't perform like we normally would from the free-throw line. That has been an issue for us, even in wins.
Right.
Not having a good performance from the line.
Miles Kelly did good from the line, but that's about it. He sucked from the field.
He underperformed in this game. He overperformed in the previous game, and he underperformed in this game, but he still came away with 12 points.
Right.
But Janai Broome hasn't had a double-double in a couple of games now, and I still think a lot of that is because of he's still not 100% physically.
Let me ask you this, because this is something that I think I had mentioned to you in passing before we went live this morning. Do you think that Janai Broome's conservative nature, because obviously he's doing little on the offensive front, especially these past couple of games, despite playing, I believe, over 30 minutes both times. Would you agree that he's maybe playing conservative on purpose, especially going into the A&M game? Because you had beaten Kentucky by 16, right? So with him seeing that scene, my team's got this covered. We've got Alabama on the horizon. We got the postseason after that. Do you think maybe it was a plan for him to not go all out, especially if he is feeling iffy, like you say?
I don't know if it was a plan. I think that's what happened. I don't know that they planned for that. I think it was based on how he felt after shoot-arounds and warm-ups. I think he was starting, you know, I think the ankle still bothers him.
Second-degree conservatism.
Yeah, it was always in the back of his mind, and it has been since he got injured. I mean, it would be in the back of anybody's mind that got an injury like that, because those kind of injuries are painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I broke my ankle 20 years ago and had screws in it, and that was one of the most painful things I can remember ever going through.
I'll take your word for it.
I even had rotator cuff surgery 20 years ago, and that was super painful. So, I mean, you know, he's got a left shoulder problem that pops out, which it did in the A&M game.
Mm-hmm.
It popped out early when he got hit on it.
But that probably encouraged him to take it easy as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was playing, you know, he's hobbling around on an ankle injury, and he's got a shoulder that is prone to pop out.
Gosh.
I mean, you think about it, and I've known people that have, you know, joints that pop out and they can pop them back in, and, you know, within a couple minutes they say they feel normal. But if you know that you're prone to having that, it's always going to be in your mind somewhere. But,
yeah.
And I'm not making an excuse for Janiah Broome. I'm just saying the Janiah Broome we've been watching is not the 100% Janiah Broome. Mm. And I think in the front of his mind, he's thinking, I got to stay as healthy as I can possibly stay because we intend to make a deep run.
Yeah. None of this first-round exit business.
And it's not a selfish thing. He just wants to be a part of it, you know. These are my guys. This is my house. This is my team.
Right.
You know, I've got to make sure I'm as healthy as I can possibly be to make this deep run and help this team get there. So I don't think it's a selfish thing. I think he's looking at it from the standpoint of preservation.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and he is. He's right when it comes to, you know, him being a need, because it's not just a desire to be out there and be part of the experience. He is the star of this team 9 times out of 10. He knows that. I mean, everything tells us that.
Well, Coach Pearl is not going to let him be the selfish type person on the court.
Yeah. Bruce Pearl wouldn't put up with that anyway.
He'll take you off the court and put you on the bench. and, you know, he did that with Hudson, you know, the two guys that got in the fight on the airplane going to the Houston game at the first part of the season.
Yeah,
He's not afraid to take a high four-star recruit and a highly anticipated production player. You make a mistake, he's gonna let you sit and think about it and ruminate over it.
As he should. Because if you're going to be acting like that, what good are you anyway?
He teaches team, not self.
Right.
And I really think Janiah Broome is a wonderful product of that because he's an unselfish player on a super team that's deep.
Exactly. And that's the thing. He wants, as you said, he wants to be there for the team. We know that he needs to be there for the team if you are going to make a deep run. So, and he's going to need to be on the floor in a more typical light if you want to beat the Crimson Tide this second go-around. I truly believe that. So we'll get into our score predictions and stuff when we return. It's already just about 10:51 here, so we'll take our final break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark and Coachin' Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachin' Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachin' Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EXIT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
This is your official station for March Madness.
College basketball lives here
on ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola is your home for March Madness. We will air the games right here from March 18th to April 7th. Once again, I want to give you one last reminder. You can listen to us not just on 99.1 FM or 1330 AM, but also on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. So all throughout March Madness, ESPN Pensacola will be your place to listen. Please keep that in mind. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about this look ahead to the dreaded rematch with Auburn and Alabama, and how Auburn's really going to have to get back into their Kentucky shape, and Jahni Broome's going to have to get back into his midseason shape for this to be a win. And we've got our score predictions here, but first I want to give you an opportunity to remind everyone we got a watch party this weekend, don't we?
Absolutely. Greater Pensacola Auburn Club, come watch the game with us Saturday at O'Reilly's downtown. It'd be a good idea to get there, 15, 20 minutes before tip-off. That way you can get your drink orders and food orders in if you want to eat early. Expecting a decent crowd with this being the final game of the year or the regular season, and it also being the Iron Bowl matchup and all it being a home court for Auburn. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I've got great expectations for this. I think Jahni Broome's going to bring the best he can. The only question mark is Denver Jones. I'm hoping he's healthy enough to go and wants to.
Why wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the game that means everything to anybody in the state of Alabama, sports wise. So looking forward to it. Come join us, at, O'Reilly's downtown for the, Greater Pensacola Auburn Club watch party. And bring your orange and blue and be prepared to scream.
Yeah, because you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about this game. Both sides have a lot to prove for this one.
Absolutely.
Both coming off of losses. Alabama's coming off of back-to-back losses. And, of course, they lost to Auburn the first time, so they're going to be wanting to really punch you in the mouth at the end here. And Auburn, this is going to be, you know, not only their final game of the regular season, but their final home game. So we've something we've mentioned all throughout this season is the electricity that Auburn has for their home games, the heat that their fans bring. So I'm sure we're going to see that crack Bama shell a little bit, no matter how hyped up they are.
Yeah, I guarantee you there's 100 or plus or more tents up around the arena.
As we speak.
Kids waiting to get in because it's first come, first serve for the students. So they're camping out ready to go.
So, listen, looking at this game, I don't see it being too different from the first time you faced Alabama as far as just general outcome. I think we can all agree that this is going to probably be an objectively good and competitive game. I don't think we're going to see Auburn, and I definitely don't think we're going to see Alabama, have some overwhelming win here. So, who do you have winning? I know who you have winning, but how much do you have it being by?
Well, I don't know if you would consider this an overwhelming win, but I think Auburn is going to bring everything to the table here because it being a home game and everything around it.
Okay.
I have Auburn winning 88-73.
15 point win. I'd say that's pretty overwhelming, convincing win.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, we talked about just how overbearing you were against Kentucky, and you won that game by 16. I know point spread isn't everything, but I'd say that's a pretty convincing win. I've got you winning by a fraction of that. I've got this being a decent scoring game, but I do take Auburn to win 86-80. I can't remember how much – y'all won by 6 or 7 the first time, right?
I believe so.
It was something like that. Yeah, it was higher scoring.
Yeah, it was – I'm trying to find it.
Or was it like 84-78? Something like that. Bottom line is, I've got you winning by about the same amount. I see this being essentially copy and paste as far as how this game unfolds. I don't know how good Jahni Broome's going to be. I think he's going to be better because I think he's going to be all the more driven to bring his A game. So I'd expect him to be, I don't know, maybe. I think Jahni Broome will get a double-double.
Yeah, the Auburn-Alabama game was 94-85.
94-85. Okay, so, wow, yeah, that sounds about right. So 9-point win. So I've got this one being closer technically, but that's allowing some room for error for Jahni Broome if he's not himself just quite yet. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. For Bill Clark, I'm Austin Price. Thanks for listening. We will see you next Thursday, and hopefully we'll be talking about another quote-unquote Iron Bowl win.
Listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.